And we're going to be in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 this morning. I want to just begin by letting you know, moms, we need you. We need you. And you think about life in a relationship with mom, you know, when you're three, mom, I need you, right? And then you turn 10 and it's, mom, I love you. And then you're 14 and, mom, you are so annoying. When you're 18, mom, I don't want anything to do with you. And then you're 25 and, mom, you were so right. And then you're 35 and you look at your children and all of their behavior. Mom, will you forgive me? I messed up so often. When you're 70, mom, I don't ever want to lose you. And when you're 70, my mother was the best mother that ever lived. And you go through the stages of mom, and as I think it just goes without saying that moms are the most influential people on the planet. Mother's Day, I think, is probably the most underrated day of the year outside of Easter. Outside of Easter, I think Mother's Day is the most underrated day of the year. Because outside of Jesus, no one is deserving of our honor and our sentiment than mothers. And maybe specifically we could say godly mothers. A godly mother is balm to a child's body, soul, and spirit, regardless of their age. A godly mother is water to the fires of life, comfort during trials in life, encouragement for the mountains of life, and the breaks before your mistakes in life. Nobody, and I mean nobody, on earth gets you like your mother. Nobody on earth accepts you like your mother. Nobody on earth loves you like your mother. And nobody wishes for your success like your mother. Now, I know and I realize this morning that there are several, if not many of you out there that can't say that about your moms. So I want to put this in context of a godly mother. Put this in context of what God says a mother ought to be like. And I want to put it in context because mothers influence us. Good, bad, and indifferent. And that's why we ultimately cherish godly mothers. Now, the Bible says we are to honor our father and our mother. And that's regardless if they're good or bad, right or evil. But the Bible says godly mothers, they should be cherished. And in Proverbs 31, we're not only told what a godly wife and a godly mother looks like, but we're told how husbands and children ought cherish them. And so for this morning, I want us to look through Proverbs 31, and I want us to look at how you can cherish the godly women in your life, so that you can cherish her God's way. Would you stand with me? We're going to read Proverbs 31. I'm going to begin in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Father, I pray that as we look into your word and as we look at these words of wisdom that you've given to us, Father, that we would cherish the godly mothers and the godly female influences in our life. May we do it in your way so that as we cherish those who love us and want the best for us, we might say that it's not in vain, but it's for your honor and your glory. And so teach us to cherish the women in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Proverbs 31 is a mother's intuition. It's Solomon's mother, most scholars think, advising him on the kind of woman that he should seek to partner with. Boy, did he get it wrong. But anyway, what we have is the right. And this is a mother's intuition on what would be the best partner for her son, for life, to raise children with, the right woman to manage the house and his assets, the right woman to protect his interest, the right woman to strengthen his spiritual resolve and to carry on his legacy. And within these verses, we find traits of a godly woman, a trustworthy and industrious woman, a hardworking woman, a woman who is a comforter, a counselor, and a teacher, a woman who is a God-fearer, a lover, an advisor, and much more. And if you're a parent of a girl this morning, this passage describes the woman that you are called to train up in the Lord. If you're a grandparent of a girl this morning, this is the kind of woman that you are encouraged your granddaughter to be. If you're a woman this morning, this is the blueprint of the kind of things God wants you to produce in life, whether or not you're married. If you're a single guy this morning, this is the kind of girl you want to look for in a wife and in a mate. If you're a married guy this morning, this is the kind of wife your wife can be when you love her like Jesus loves the church. If you're a child this morning, this passage describes the greatest blessing of childhood and adolescence should your mother's character reflect these virtues. This is for each one of us. There's not one of us here this morning that this passage should not hit a bullseye in our life, a target. And if women in your life reflect these qualities and these virtues, you ought to celebrate her and you ought to cherish her. And as you look at this text, I find four ways in which you can cherish the godly women in your life. And this goes for every man, and this goes for every woman, and this goes for every child. Because the text doesn't just show us the virtues of a woman, it shows us how to cherish and honor a virtuous woman. And the first truth that we find, the first way that you cherish her God's way is that you trust her. Cherish her God's way by trusting her. If you look at verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her. Now, the heart of her husband reflects the very core of her husband. The very essence of who he is the fact that he trusts her. We might saying that her husband trusts her wholeheartedly. And the verses then that follow from verse 11 all the way through verse 25 demonstrates why she is worthy of trust. All of her works, her virtues, are worthy of trust. She does good, we see. She is good, we see, and she brings good, we see. She doesn't harm the family. She's a hard worker. She's a provider, we've read in these verses. She's industrious in business. Yes, believe it or not, all the way back during Solomon's time, there were business women, okay? This isn't just a 19th or 20th century women's movement. We find that women have always been industrious. They've always been business-minded. Well, they run the house for many of you. She's strong. She's generous and compassionate. Her hands are always moving, whether for her family or for an outsider, and so much more. But all of these characteristics are the reason why she is worthy of your trust. And if you want to cherish the woman in your life, trust her. So what does that mean? Well, it means in the matters and affairs that she oversees within the home and without the home, trust her judgment. Trust her perceptions. Trust her preferences. So men, when she wants to paint the bedroom for the 10th time and it's only been, 5 years in your house, it's okay to trust her. Or she wants to move the furniture again. Trust her. It's okay. If she wants to give to a special cause, trust her. If she has perceptions about your friends or your activities or those influences, listen, men, if she has perceptions about other women in your life, trust her. Trust her intuition. If she does the finances, trust her. If she does the shopping, trust her. Don't micromanage your woman. Don't micromanage your wife. Don't question every decision she makes. Don't doubt her intentions or don't doubt her intuitions. Trust her. A godly woman is cherished when you trust her. Give her your trust. Now, children, listen to me. If you want to cherish your mom this Mother's Day, trust your mom. Trust her intuition. Trust that she wants what's best for you. Because the majority of moms really want what's best for their children. And the best way, listen, children, listen, the best way for you to trust your mother is to obey her. If you want to show your mom that you trust her, you obey her. And I can think that, I think I can confidently say beyond a shadow of a doubt that those ladies who are here this morning are never going to give you instruction that are going to bring about your demise. They want what's best for you. So when she says, listen, children, listen. When she says, clean your room, do your homework, take out the trash, do your chores, trust her. Okay? When she says, I don't think that friend is a good influence on you, trust her. When you grow up and you're 21 or 22 or 25 for my girls, and mom says, hey, that boy, I don't know that he's the best fit for you, trust her. I think every mother says that, though, at some point with opposite sex relationships, though, right? Nobody's good enough for your kids. But you still trust your mother, okay? Trust your mom. Cherish her by trusting her. Cherish your mother by trusting her to listen to what she says and to do it. For adult children, cherish your mother by trusting her. Heed her instructions. That doesn't mean obey everything she says, but give extra weight to what mom has to say. Because likely mom's been there, mom's done that, or mom's been there and mom's messed that up. And she has wisdom to offer. So trust her. Trust her instruction is going to be meant for your good. Trust that her desires are really in your best interest. And so, men, women, children, you cherish the women in your life by trusting them. Second, you honor and cherish the women in your life by listening to her. Cherish her God's way by listening to her. Look at down at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her house and does not eat the bread of idleness. If you trust someone, you'll listen to them. That just makes sense. And so, in your trust, listen. And we find in verse 26 and 27, there are four reasons why God says you should cherish her by listening to her. The first one is that she's wise. She speaks wisdom in verse 26. Now, Proverbs also tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so therefore, mom's true wisdom is always going to be a reflection of God, of God's word, of God's way, of God's will. And that means that a woman who fears the Lord is speaking his truth. I should listen to her. Not because of her position or her authority, but because the authority of her words are the word of God. So children and men, cherish the women in your life by listening to God's wisdom through her. Don't resent godly wisdom that comes from mom, children. Don't resent the godly wisdom that comes from wife, husbands. God is using her to draw you close to him. So she speaks with wisdom. Listen to her. Second, we listen to her because she speaks kindness and she teaches kindness in verse 26. The teaching of kindness is on her tongues. I mean, I think the proverbial mom saying is if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all, right? That's kindness. That's kindness. Moms teach kindness, and a godly mom is going to want to instill kindness in her children. That two wrongs always make two wrongs, right? It doesn't work opposite. And so that means kids, listen to your mom. She wants you to grow up to be a kind, respectable, independent citizen. She wants you to grow up to be a God-fearer. Listen to mom. She wants to break up fights and spats and hurts. She wants to be a peacemaker. She doesn't want to be a referee, although I know some many times you probably feel like that, don't you, moms? She wants to teach you kindness. So cherish the woman in your life by listening to her. Men, listen to your wives as they speak into your relationships, because men and relationships are kind of like oil and water. You know what I mean by that, right? They don't mix a lot of times. So listen to your wife when she speaks, because she wants to teach you kindness. The third reason, verse 27, is that she wants what's best for you. She looks at the way of her household. Mom wants what's best for you. So listen to her. Moms sacrifice, they go without, they do without, they live without for the betterment of you. And godly moms have this natural bent to want what's best for their kids at any cost. Maybe you've heard the phrase mama bear, right? When she goes all mama bear on somebody, you don't want to get in that way. Because when you're between her, a mama bear, and her cubs, there is absolutely nothing except death that's going to keep mama bear from her cubs. She wants what's best for her kids. So mama bear, she wants what's best for you. She's your protector. She has your best interests in mind. The fourth reason you want to listen to her is because she's got a good work ethic. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. And that simply means, and as it's already been exemplified, man, she's a hard worker. You know, typically moms wake up working and they go to bed working, right? And then they wake up again working again. And that doesn't mean that they're working at a job. It means that they're doing dishes, preparing meals, folding clothes, kids, straightening the house. A mother's work is never, a mother's hands are never idle. They're always moving. And always moving mom is trying to not just teach you something, but trying to show you something. How to live life, that there's always something to be done. And so she wants what's best for you. She's not there to hurt you. I mean, think about this. How many hurts, adults, could you have removed from your past if only you would have listened to mom's good advice? Wow, right? You know, from the don't run with the scissors in your hands, and now I've got the stitches to prove it, to wash your hands before you eat, or you're going to get sick. From don't hang out with this kind of friend because they're going to get you in trouble, to look for a spouse with this type of traits. Mom's advice is there to be taken because she genuinely wants what's best for us. And there are so many times in life, if we would have simply listened to mom, our bodies, our minds, our relationships, our finances, and our spiritual well-being would be in such a better place. The hurts, the harms, and the hang-ups, the trials and the circumstances would be greatly diminished. And you didn't have to fear walking into the kitchen with your tail between your legs and hear mama say, "I told you so. I told you so." So cherish her. Cherish her by listening to her. Her wisdom, her kindness, her best wishes, her ethics. Now, the first two points here are how to cherish her by receiving from her. You trust her, you listen to her. The second two are by are points that how you cherish her by giving to her. Verses 28 through 30 show us how we cherish mom and how we cherish our wife by praising her. Cherish her God's way by praising her. Notice her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And men, praise your woman. Praise your mom. Praise your wife. She will be cherished when you praise her. Now, I want you to notice how to do that. The first thing you say, the first thing is what you say. My mom is the best. My wife is the best. Nobody compares. You're not looking around comparing your wife, your mom, to other moms. You're just automatically saying, my mom is the best. Because a godly mom is the best mom. So you say, mom, you're the best. Or as Evan would say, you're amazing, mommy. Now I want you to notice the best. It's not because she's charming. She may be. It's not because she's beautiful in appearance. She may be. She's praiseworthy because she fears the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I want you to know that I had the worst mother in the world. Other kids, they ate candy for breakfast. We had cereal and eggs and burnt toast. Others, for lunch, got Pepsi and Twinkies. I had to eat sandwiches. For dinner, can you believe it? Mom made me eat vegetables, even the green ones. She was the worst. Mother insisted on knowing that she knew where I was at all times. It was like I was in prison, right? I mean, I had to have a hall pass to go to the bathroom. She needed to know everywhere I went. Not only did she need to know where I went, but she also had to know who I was with and what we were doing. Insisted that if I was gone for an hour, I would be back within the hour. And I don't think she was ashamed that she broke child labor laws, right? Between the dishes and the laundry, the floors, the vacuuming, the sweeping, all other sorts of cruel jobs that included even the bathroom cleaning. And I think she would lie awake thinking, what can I make my kids do around the house that's going to annoy them? She always insisted on us telling the truth, and if we ever didn't tell the truth, Dad, got real mad. By the time we were teenagers, I swear that she could read my mind. She knew what I was thinking even before I was thinking it. When friends would come, they couldn't just honk the horn and me run out. Nope, she had to come. They had to come to the door so that she knew exactly who I was doing what with. And the hard and fast rule, while everybody else had girlfriends and boyfriends by 12, I was supposed to be 64 before I could start dating. It didn't work out too well for her. However, because of having the worst mother in the world, I missed out on a lot of things. A lot of experiences, like I've never been caught shoplifting. I've never vandalized somebody else's property. I've never been arrested for a crime. It's all her fault that I've never gotten drunk. I've never took up drugs. I've never stayed up all night doing something that would dishonor her. Or any of the millions of other things that other kids had done. Sundays were always church and family days. We never missed. And we never asked to spend the night at a friend's house on Saturday night because the next day was church and family night, family day. And now that I've left home and have the kids of my own, I can say that the meanest mom has become the best mom. And all of those mean things that I thought that she was out to get me with were actually wise things, praiseworthy things. And she's right after all. And for that, and for those mothers who emulate that type of character and quality, praise her. Praise her that she fears the Lord. Because to fear the Lord simply means you believe what God says. That's all fear the Lord means. That you believe what God says. And when you believe what God says, that's going to change how you live your life. Because you're going to believe that God says this behavior is bad and this behavior is good. And so the bad behavior you're not going to do and the good behavior you're going to do. And that's what a mom who fears the Lord teaches her children. I want you to do this behavior because God says it's good, and I don't want you to do this behavior because God says it's bad. So praise your wife, praise your mother for the godly character she's instilled within you, for godly wisdom imparted, for kindness shown and taught, for responsibilities met and exceeded, for obedience to the Lord followed through, for provision that she's met through her hands, for attentiveness for what's going on in your life. Praise her for those things. Praise her for the compassion that she shows the weak and the needy. Praise her for the generosity she gives to the poor. Praise her for the discretion she has when keeping your secrets. Praise her for the patience that she has to deal with you. Praise her for the tolerance for putting up with your awkwardness, your oddness, and your uniqueness. No, I know none of you are odd or unique or anything like that. Praise her usefulness. Praise her for her discipline, correcting you and setting you on the right path. Because let's face it, you have a heart only a mother could love. And your mom loves your heart. She loves you. So praise her for that. Cherish her. Norman Vincent Peale had a conversation with President Dwight Eisenhower when he was the president, and he asked him, "Mr. President, you've known every great man of our century. Who is the greatest man you ever met?" And Eisenhower, without said, "The greatest person I met wasn't a man. It was a woman, and it was my mother. She never had much schooling, but her wisdom was God's wisdom. She didn't go to school very long, but she went to the greatest books of all, the Bible. And she was schooled well. There is where she acquired her wisdom. Praise your woman for godly character that you see in her life." Second, or fourth it would be, but the second thing you can give your woman, your mom, your wife, is to give her reward. Cherish her God's way by rewarding. 31, as we conclude. Give her of the fruit of her hands. there are two ways the text says here to reward the woman in your life. The first is to give her the fruit of her hands. This is more than just praising her. This speaks of a just reward. You know, the Bible says that the oxen is worthy of the grain as it trods. Likewise, the laborer is worthy of the wage they've earned. A woman of godly character is worthy of rewards. In fact, jump back to verse 10. She is far more precious than jewels, right? So, if she's far more precious than jewels, isn't she worthy of jewels? I'm not saying it's a command, guys. But ladies, it is implied a little bit, right? The reward, there is reward there. And the implication is she is worthy of reward. And her godly character is worthy of reward. She deserves it. She's earned it. And that's good. But guys, we're really bad. At least I'm really bad at this. So let me help you out, okay? If it has a motor or parts, it's probably not a good reward for Mother's Day. Okay? If it needs to be assembled, it's probably not a good reward for Mother's Day. If it needs to be plugged in, it's probably not a good reward for Mother's Day. If it involves a size, it's probably not a good reward for Mother's Day, because let's face it, you've got a 1 in 7,000 chance of being right, which means 6,999 times she's going to be offended. So just stay away from anything that has a size. Avoid all things useful, even if it's the latest, greatest gadget. Yeah, stay away. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or weights. I don't even want to go there, right? Don't buy her cleaning supplies. I shouldn't have explained that one. Okay? Don't make her breakfast at 6 a.m. She wants to sleep in. And if you want to buy her jewelry, don't buy it by yourself, because the jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can afford, she just doesn't want it. But don't give her nothing at all, because that's not going to fly at all either. You want to reward her. And you want to cherish her by showing her reward. And, you know, sometimes moms, I've learned, like the simplest thing. A nap. A clean house. A walk. Hand-picked flowers. A date. A homemade card. Time off. Meal. A spa day. Or another means of pampering. Reward her with quality time spent doing activities that she wants. Maybe mom just wants a good old hug or a meaningful conversation that doesn't revolve around the kids or that doesn't revolve around body parts. Maybe mom just wants a prayer. Give back to her, because she's labored, pun intended on this one, she's labored on your behalf. And it was more than the hours. It was the years. You know, I don't think we could ever repay a godly mother for their time, their influence, their effort. But I don't think godly moms want to be repaid. But it is nice to be rewarded. So reward her. Reward her by the fruits of her hand. Show her how cherished she is. Furthermore, don't stifle the praise she receives by others. That's a reward that you can give the woman in your life. Reward her by letting others praise her. The Proverbs says that a wise man allows others to praise his works, while a foolish man props his works up. Allow others to praise your wife. You see, there can be a real temptation when somebody praises your mom or praises your wife to give them the real view, the humanized view. And whatever the reason, don't give in to that. Because I guarantee you, how well do you like your human view of yourself? Don't do it to mom. Don't do it to your wife. Reward her by letting others praise her. And when they do, jump in and say, amen, that's right. And then share with it a grander, the more spectacular tale. Grow her legacy and reward her. And then when you see her, go say, do you know what so-and-so said about you? It's good. It's good. They praised you. And children, and we're all children here this morning, when others talk kindly and praise your mom, man, pick up the torch and not only agree, but carry it down the row a little bit farther. Likewise, men, when others speak of your wife's kind, praiseworthy character, bolster that praise. Reward her with a greater legacy and a greater opinion of godliness. And so today, Mother's Day, a day set aside to cherish and honor our moms, we can do that God's way. And he gives us how we show our wives, our moms, you're cherished to me. You trust her, you listen to her, you praise her, and you reward her. And I trust this morning as you reflect, and for those of us whose moms are still on this earth, let us praise their godly attributes and characters. For those whose moms have passed on, and we still praise and cherish them. We praise and cherish their memory. For children, honor your mother. Trust your mother. Cherish your mother. The best gift that you could give her today isn't something in a box or with wrapping. It would be a sweet and submissive spirit that cherishes who she is. Let's stand and worship.